Welcome back to the second hour of the 9 till noon show on this Tuesday morning. Donal Cavanagh with you until 12 midday. Just to remind you, our community Gartha slot is coming up in a few moments' time. Gartha Gráinne Doherty is going to be with us, I believe, and that's coming up at around about 10:15 in just a few moments' time, so please do stick around for that. You can potentially help Gartha solve some issues that are on their books in the northwest area. So that'll be Gráinne. She's coming up, as I say, in around about the 10:15 mark in just a few moments' time. With regards to the issue in Donegal Airport, where the flight from Dublin to Donegal didn't make it yesterday, and then people found themselves unable to travel to Dublin from Donegal because the incoming flight was cancelled. A caller says, could that have had anything to do with the Ryanair flight, which had difficulties on the runway? That did strike my mind. Now, I'm not sure, because that happened on Sunday. Now, and that happened on Sunday afternoon. My understanding is that, yes, they closed the runway for a time, but I think that was a very specific issue to that Ryanair flight and to the nose wheel on it. They were doing, obviously, a very clear search of the runway to make sure there were no pieces of debris on that south runway. So that runway was closed for several hours, and they would have done a very painstaking search on that. I'm not sure that would have lasted right through into yesterday and delayed it. The issue that was the airline said it was a technical issue, and it seemed to be suggesting it was a technical issue with the plane. I could be wrong on that, because as it happened, there was actually a close family member of mine had been in North Wales for the weekend and was flying home from Liverpool to City of Derry Airport on Sunday afternoon, and the Loganair flight from Derry to Liverpool never made it over there. So the flight from Liverpool to Derry obviously didn't take off, and she found herself having to, at very short notice, book herself onto an EasyJet flight from Liverpool to Belfast, which got in much later on Sunday evening, and then someone drove from Letterkenny to Belfast International to pick her up, which was not on the original plan. And that was from Liverpool itself, but I mean, again, it seems to have been just a coincidence of timing, more so than linked to the actual issue with the Ryanair plane. Now, if you want to get in touch with us, by the way, you can text us 086 60 25000, WhatsApp us on that number as well. We're 074 91 25000. Niamh and Caroline taking your calls outside at the moment, or you can use social media, of course, Highland Hub on Facebook, where you can also watch the programme unfold, as you can do on the Highland Radio Ireland channel on YouTube. You can also use Twitter. It's at Highland Radio on Twitter, and we're also on Instagram and Snapchat and on other social media platforms as well. Now, and you welcome back to the 9 till noon show, time for our Gartha Community Information slot, and delighted to be joined in studio by Gartha Gráinne Doherty. Gráinne, good morning.
Good morning.
Gráinne, an awful lot, obviously, on the cards this morning. So we begin with some criminal damage at Lisone Avenue in Buncrana.
Yeah, Buncrana Gardaí, you're investigating this incident. It happened in the area of Lisone Avenue in the early hours of Tuesday, the 4th of April, in and around 3 a.m, it's believed it happened. A resident at a property there heard a few loud bangs, and the following morning they went out, checked over their property. They discovered that glass had been cracked in an upstairs window. So it's believed the stones may have been thrown at this window in an effort to smash it. So we appeal to anybody, particularly maybe other residents in that area, anybody that was in the area had a dash cam, if they could make contact with Gardaí in Buncrana. So anybody that witnessed the incident or observed any sort of activity in that area overnight, if they could contact Gardaí in Buncrana or the Gardaí Confidential line on 1800 666 111.
Going now with another case of criminal damage, this time to Ballymacool Woods in Letterkenny.
Yes, this incident happened at the Green Ballymacool Woods between 5 p.m. and 1 a.m. on Saturday the 8th of April. So again, the resident of that property, they were away from home, returned home to discover that the glass in their front door had been smashed. So again, in this instance, it would appear that a stone was thrown at the glass. We're appealing again to residents in that area to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 91671100, just if they witnessed any sort of antisocial behaviour maybe taking place in that area, or if they have any other relevant information, we'd like to hear from them also.
A theft this time at the Nick Ardra between the 6th and 7th of April, that was last week.
Yeah, so this car was parked up just at the Nick Ardra along the roadside there, and four alloys were stolen from it between 5 p.m. on Thursday the 6th and 8 a.m. the following morning, Friday the 7th of April. So again, to anybody living in that area, we appeal to them, or to anybody who may have travelled in that area between those times who noticed any suspicious activity, to make contact with Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985-8530.
Another theft, this time the theft of sheep in Glencullum Kill. Now, it happened at some point over a period of some weeks between March and April.
Yeah, so this was only recently reported to Gardaí, actually. Yeah, so these sheep, 40 sheep, mainly ewes, and some of whom were in lamb. So they were stolen from a mountain area at Largy Brack, Glencullum Kill. So it's believed they were stolen between March 12th and April 2nd. So we just received the report in recent days. So we appeal to anybody who may have information in relation to the theft of these animals or in relation to the current whereabouts of them to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530. I mean, 40 sheep, you know, that's a massive loss to any farmer. You know, it's a massive loss to suffer. So anybody with any sort of information, they can contact the Garda confidential line either on 1800 666 111 if they don't feel comfortable contacting their local Garda station.
A road traffic collision in Letterkenny. This one happened on Holy Thursday just outside Ballyrain School there.
Yeah, Thursday the 6th of April. So shortly before 6:50pm just happened on the Ballyrain Road outside Ballyrain National School there at the crossing. So between a pedestrian and a car. So the pedestrian was taken by ambulance to Letterkenny Hospital to receive treatment. Thankfully, their injuries are not believed to be life-threatening. So Gardaí did speak with all parties involved at the scene. So we appeal to anybody who may have travelled along this road, who may have witnessed the incident, or to anybody who travelled on that stretch of road who had a dash cam, to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167 100.
As you say, thankfully, not life-threatening injuries, and we wish the injured person well there. Advice for people with family members who may be susceptible to bogus callers. And this is one of these things that crops up again and again. And I suppose it's one of those problems you always do have to be aware of.
Yeah, and thankfully we haven't had any recent reports in the Donegal division in relation to bogus callers. But at this time of the year, usually this does crop up, that there are occurrences of bogus callers calling to people. And I did see something online a couple of days ago that there have been a few reports down the country, further down the country, in relation to bogus callers calling to houses. So just in light of that, we thought we'd issue a piece of advice to anybody. If anybody has maybe family members who live alone or who may be vulnerable, considered vulnerable, we would like them to speak to those people also in relation to this, just to advise them in relation to it. So with the longer, brighter evenings now, it's possible we will see a rise in the occurrence of incidents involving bogus callers. These callers may arrive to offer services such as could be power washing, painting, general maintenance, tarmacking. They could be selling goods either. So these callers prefer to target the more vulnerable and people who live alone. So we advise everybody, just do not engage with these callers. Don't open your door to anybody before you are 100% confident that they are known to you or that they have a genuine reason to be there. Use a chain lock for added security. And these callers can be quite intimidating. Often they might refuse to take no for an answer, particularly if they know that you're there alone. You know, they may be very overbearing. Keep your door locked. Contact Gardaí immediately if you encounter such a caller. Try to give as much information as possible. You know, as they're leaving your property, glance out. Try to see, have they a mode of transport, what colour it is, registration number, and give a good detailed description of the caller. So we also ask everybody, when you're out and about, to be vigilant. Just report any suspicious people or vehicles to us immediately. And the best advice is just, if you're in doubt, keep them out.
We've also had reports over the years of instances where, in some cases, they will literally begin work and then try and browbeat the householder or the occupant into paying on the basis, look, the work is done, you have to pay us. Now, in that instance, I'm sure the advice would be to call yourselves.
Of course, yeah, and that's quite a common occurrence, yeah. And more often than not, too, this may be somebody who lives alone, again, who there's very little backup there for them to stand up to these people, or somebody who's vulnerable. They're well aware, you know, they know who to target. So our advice is, if somebody does come to your home, if you have hired their services and they're refusing to complete the work, or, you know, if you're feeling in fear of this person or people, contact Gardaí. There's no issue whatsoever, and we'll immediately call out to you.
Now, we know some of your colleagues in Galway have had some horrendous scenes to deal with over the past 24 hours. Here in Donegal, obviously, a road safety appeal was issued ahead of the Easter weekend. Thankfully, we don't have major tragedies to report on the roads in Donegal, but your colleagues were still busy out there over the past couple of days.
And definitely, if anybody was tuned into the TV or the radio stations over the weekend, they would have heard that there was a lot of tragedy and a lot of sad homes over the Easter weekend, unfortunately, as a result of fatalities on the roads. And we did issue a road safety appeal to all road users, as always, ahead of any bank holiday weekend, and last weekend was no different. So we're glad to say the vast majority of road users did take the general road safety message on board. But as always, there's a few who didn't. So Gardaí were out in the roads over the weekend conducting high visibility checkpoints, speed checks, and FCPNs or fines were issued for a range of road traffic related offences, speeding being the main one. But across the Donegal division between Friday and Monday, there were 8 arrests for drink driving related offences and 3 arrests for drug driving offences. So just the longer evenings now, the brighter weather, you know, over the coming weeks and months, there will be a higher volume of traffic on the roads, people out holidaying and enjoying the good weather. And with this comes an increased risk of collisions. So we ask all road users, whether it's a bank holiday weekend or not, the advice remains the same. Please use roads responsibly. Drivers are always urged, slow down, you know, keep your speed down. You don't have to, you know, if you're on a 100 kilometre speed limit, you don't have to drive at 100 kilometres. You know, take all factors into consideration and drive at a safe speed. Wear your seatbelt. Make sure your passengers are wearing their seatbelts. You're responsible, you know, for their safety when they're in your car. Never drive while under the influence of alcohol or drugs. Don't use, hold your mobile phone while driving, and think road safety at all times. Never ever take a risk on the roads.
Finally, Grainne, the Garda recruitment competition, it opened on March 24th. It lasts until the end of this week. If people are still thinking of perhaps applying, what should they be doing now?
Yeah, well, actually, the closing date now to apply is coming quite close. 3 p.m. on the 14th of April, candidates must apply. So if they log on to publicjobs.ie, that's you apply from there. And we had a recruitment stand the other day at Letterkenny Shopping Centre, and we had quite a bit of an interest. You know, a lot of people came over and took the information leaflets, which was great to see. And we just ask anybody who's interested in applying to become a Garda, don't be afraid to come into your local Garda. Come into Letterkenny, Buncrana, Milford, Ballyshannon. They're open 24/7. Call in. There'll be no issue whatsoever. If you have any questions just in relation to the job, the training, come in. We'll talk to you. People can also view additional information at www.garda.ie in relation to the training and the job itself.
And as we say, that closing date is Friday afternoon. So if people are thinking of applying it's time to really get the skates on now at this stage.
Get on to it at this stage, yeah, definitely.
Garda Grainne Doherty, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning for that. Hopefully, if anyone wants to respond to any of those, they can do so to the Garda station in question, to their local Garda station. We'll be getting all the details up, obviously, on our website, highlandradio.com. And you want to just repeat that, the confidential line as well, just in case people want to use that?
Yep, 1800 1800 666 111. And just, it's important to note as well, when you ring that number, I called it myself one day just to make sure I had my facts straight. But you're actually through to a recorded message when you ring that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just leave your message after the beep. You don't have to leave your name, no further details about yourself. You can leave the information you want, leave, hang up. It's as simple as that, and it's totally confidential.
Garda Grainne Doherty, thank you very much indeed.
No problem, Donal.
It's the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. You're back. You're welcome back. We're halfway through the programme. It doesn't seem like we've been on for an hour and a half, but indeed we have. I want to read you an excerpt from a letter that we received recently. And it says, I'm writing to you in relation to my daughter being bullied in school this past 6 months. It needs to be stopped. It started with one girl. She's formed a group of four. It's happening constantly, day in, day out. They've thrown glue in her hair, hitting against her while walking past her. They've hit her school books coming up to exams. They isolate her in class. If any other girl would stand and chat to my daughter, this bully would come over and drag her away, leaving my daughter standing on her own. It was a daily thing. If students had a trip down the country, they'd make sure that she would be on her own. They set up a Snapchat account so they could text negative comments and call her names, but put it in a different girl's name, claiming to be someone else. In class, they would pull tables away from her, making her feel like she had a disease. In PE, they would leave her out in a team and tackle her deliberately. This has been going on every day. My daughter is very traumatised. That's just an excerpt from a letter that we received. Joined on the line by Jim Harding, who is the founder of the group Bullying For You. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Colin.
Jim,
Donal, I beg your pardon, Donal.
Yes, indeed. Jim, you've heard that's just an excerpt from a letter that we received, and I'm sure that's the sort of thing that you've heard an awful lot of since you became involved in this particular area.
It is, Donal. Unfortunately, it is probably the number one sort of issue that arrives on our desk where a parent feels that the school, and I would feel this in this case, that the school is failing in their duty of care to this child. This child is being traumatised, as it said in the letter. She's been isolated. She She has been bullied continuously. And I receive this sort of inquiry quite a lot, where a parent says that they've been going to the school for 6 months, 18 months, 2 years, and nothing has happened to protect their child. What I would advise in this instance, Donald, to this parent, that they should get a copy of the school's anti-bullying policy, and they should make a formal complaint through the school's anti-bullying policy. The school can conveniently ignore phone calls, short meetings, somebody going up and saying, I feel my child has been bullied. But if it is done through the school's anti-bullying policy in writing, the school have to act and have to do something about it. I would, as the parent here, I would itemise every single interaction that they've had with the school, everything that has happened. I wouldn't care if it turned into a 20-page letter. I would also get a copy, a screenshot of all these. Hopefully she kept a screenshot of these Snapchat messages and any of these kind of online things. Always keep a copy of them. They're evidence. And I would supplement the report, or sorry, the complaint, with all of this information. This really isn't good enough.
A lot of what's in this letter, and it would appear a lot of the bullying that does take place tends to be psychological. And from that point of view, it can at times perhaps be difficult to quantify the impact it's having. But I'm sure you, more than anyone, realise the psychological impact, the culmination of a lot of little things spills up to something that's quite psychologically harmful to a person. The problem sometimes can be actually proving that.
Completely. I mean, what this is doing is chipping away at this child, constantly just chipping away, undermining her. It will lead, unfortunately, as I think we can see in the letter, to anxiety. The child has to lock herself into a toilet cubicle at lunchtimes. And it can have a very detrimental effect on her education, her future sort of outlook on things. And this needs to be tackled immediately. And how the school can sort of neglect. I mean, there was mention in the letter which I saw about teachers seeing activity on CCTV and on cameras where the child is being undermined and people pulling their desks away from her. I think it's the parents said it's as if she had a disease. This is all on CCTV. What? Who is responsible for this? I think the child is in TY. Who is responsible within this school for the TY students? And why has nothing been done about this? I think it's disgraceful. And I think from our experience in Bully for You, children in primary school, they know exactly who to go to. They know their interaction is with one teacher all the time. They know to go to Sir or to Miss or else to Mum and Dad. But as soon as the child moves into secondary school, they could have 10 subject teachers, there'll be career guidance counsellors, deputy principals, year heads, chaplains. There's a whole myriad of teaching staff. And the problem with children when they move into secondary school is they don't know who to go to. And secondly, they don't know what's going to happen. So as a result, the child suffers in silence, which is totally unacceptable in this day and age.
Earlier in the programme, by coincidence, because this is the week of teacher conferences, it happens to be Easter week when all the teacher conferences take place, we spoke to a local person who's high up in one of the teachers' unions, and they were talking about how difficult it is for teachers at the moment to do the work they have, plus all the other extracurricular admin work and everything else that teachers are finding themselves having to do. Are we in a situation where at the moment there is so much of a workload being handed on to teachers over and above their teaching that something like this almost inevitably is not going to get the attention it deserves because teachers are all being pulled seven different ways at once?
Well, I mean, we all know the teachers are under massive pressure. But this is it. This is a different situation to maybe organising a school outing or a sports occasion. This child's future, I wouldn't say it's on the line, but her future has been undermined and chipped away at on a constant basis. And from my understanding of the letter, the school are aware, or certainly some individuals in the school are well aware of what's actually happening. And I would suggest that in for a school like this, where maybe you have a constant rollover of teachers, they might see 7 or 8 different teachers a day, in a single teacher classroom situation, the teacher can identify that there is bullying behaviour going on. Whereas when they're coming in, maybe for a teacher's coming in for a 40-minute period, they might see something, but they mightn't see it again later in the day because they're not going to be in that class. I think there should be some sort of a register, a logbook there. And if, say, the teacher in the first class and maths teacher comes in and sees a child being picked on or isolated, that they should go and put that into the relevant register or log for that particular classroom. As a mandatory piece of reporting. And it's then, if a number of teachers are doing this and they're saying that pupil X is coming in from 5 or 6 different teachers, that the pupil X has been treated unfairly, is being isolated, if this all adds up to a picture that where you have a number of different teachers coming in, that you're not going to get that picture. But there should be mandatory reporting of this sort of stuff. But my advice to parents in this situation is, don't just go up and have a chat with the teacher, because you'll be going up and possibly, I mean, hopefully something will be done immediately, and this is certainly happening in most schools across the country. But in situations where it's not happening, immediately get a copy of the school's anti-bullying policy. It should be on the school's website. If not, phone the school, get onto the office, ask them to post you out a copy of the policy, or go in and collect it. And then itemize everything that's happening and make the complaint through the policy, and let them know that you're making the complaint through the policy, and that will certainly focus their attention.
And you believe it should be formal?
I beg your pardon?
And you believe that complaint should be formal? It should be formally put through with an expectation that it's dealt with as per the policy and responded to as per the policy?
Oh, totally. And this should happen immediately. And the school should not be letting this situation drag on. I mean, what are they waiting for? This child's, her present and her future is on the line here, and she needs support. Now, there was one piece in the parents' letter that I noticed where punishment was mentioned. And there certainly seems to be a ringleader and a circle around this ringleader. Our experience in Bully for You is that punishment as such does not work. If I get punished for picking on you, Donal, and then I get punished and I get, I kept back in school or I miss events or whatever it is, that can harden the bully and make them determined to go back in again as soon as possible. What we find the best way of addressing this from the school's perspective is through restorative practice. Yeah. So restorative practice would be, a lot of schools, the teaching staff are getting trained in this. So it will be a case of sitting down. Now, it's not always going to be appropriate, but I would have thought that this would be appropriate. Sitting down, letting the bully know, or the child engaged in bullying behaviour, the impact that her behaviour is having on the other child. And sometimes it can be a win-win situation, because generally the child engaged in the bullying behaviour, there's something going wrong in their background. There's something wrong there that they are being so mean and so horrible to this child. So it can be an opportunity for somebody to say, well, you know, what's going on in your life? Why are you? And then something might come out, and then it can be a chance that the child with the bullying behaviour, it can be addressed, but she can also see the effect that she's having on the other child, and it gives the other child a chance to regain some of the power that has been taken from them.
If anyone wants to make contact with you, Jim, or contact Bullying for You, how can they do so?
So we've visited Donegal on many occasions, Donal, on invitation from schools in Donegal Town, Letterkenny. They can contact me at jim@bully4u.ie. That's bully4u.ie. We We've travelled to Donegal on many occasions, providing student workshops, primary, secondary level, teacher in service, and it definitely sounds like a teacher in service is required in this instance. It's just not acceptable for a child to be continuously treated in this way. The duty of care on behalf of the school towards this child is not reaching the minimum standard, I would think, in this case. So that's how we can be contacted, Donal. And if this parent wants to reach out to me, I'd be very happy to speak to her and provide some sort of support and guidance and give her some chance to prioritise this within the school so that her child can overcome this horrific experience.
Thank you. That's Jim Harding there of Bully for You, BULLY, letter 4, capital U. Jim, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Donald.
That's Jim speaking to us there. A few comments coming in. Caller says, Gregory Campbell simply cannot provide inspiration for the young in the Craigan and Derry City, nor can Sinn Féin provide any inspiration. Caller makes claims that when an Irish language girls' school was being set up in Craigan many years ago, Sinn Féin effectively hijacked it and forced it to move to the bog site. And this is one of the reasons they say the Good Friday Agreement has had so many difficulties in Craigan and in other communities. Another caller says, ask Gregory Campbell about the UDA and the UVF and drug dealers who have destroyed Northern Ireland with their criminal activities as well. Earlier we read a comment with regards to suicide in Northern Ireland and the fact that suicide figures in Northern Ireland since the Good Friday Agreement are larger, it's claimed, than the number of people who were actually killed during the Troubles. A caller says, Ray, suicide, the connection between suicide and parental alienation is well known anecdotally, yet it's been covered up by a lack of research by the organisations and government agencies that are addressing it. That's a claim there from a caller. And I suppose what it points to is the fact that we do need more research in this particular area. Birthday request in. Happy birthday to my sister Bree Jean Kelly in Lenswilly. Have a lovely day. And that is from Kelda. So happy birthday to you, Bree Jean. Just another one or two comments before we take a break. I was in Rosnally yesterday, as were many portaloos were completely full with toilet roll. They'd reached their capacity. I don't know the situation throughout the county at other beaches. I wonder, can they be served daily over weekends, as they're obviously on hire? What's the long-term situation? It's not very tourist-friendly. I know certainly what it's like to be using a portaloo which has been a bit clogged up by toilet paper, etc. And all I will say is it is one thing for a man. It's, I suspect, an even more difficult thing for a woman because of the way we go. So I think it's probably easier for a man, and I have often been in a portaloo that I've been using and thought to myself, it must be very difficult for a woman. Now, I will always clean down the area around, and I will try as much as I can to use that little lever and clear as much as you can, but when they get clogged up, they get clogged up. That is an absolute case. Caller says, how long is it taking to renew the working family payment? I've been waiting now for 5 weeks. Question there, perhaps, for the Department of Social Protection. Let's talk about Murva Beach, one of the best beaches in Donegal. A Murva Beach committee has been formed in partnership with Donegal County Council and Cuilte on matters important to the area and its amenities, joined by the group's chairperson, Lorraine McCafferty. Lorraine, good morning to you.
Good morning, Donal. How are you? Pleasure to be on.
Very well indeed, and a pleasure to speak to you. Lorraine, what sort of issues do you foresee this group discussing, and who do you want to get involved?
Oh, Ben, thank you. So listen, I think the committee has five main focus areas. The general maintenance of the beach, the boardwalk, making sure it's clean, all of that. Erosion is also a very hot topic within the committee. Addressing the issue of camper vans staying overnight during the summer. You know, the forestry, there's a lot of overnight camping in the forestry. We want to just make sure, you know, that the health and general maintenance of the forestry is upheld. And then lastly, we're looking to put a play area for kids somewhere in the vicinity of the beach, similar to what they have in Rasnaila. So they're the key sort of like four or five areas that the committee's focused on.
And local people obviously will have a lot to contribute to this. They know the area better than anyone else, and they probably have a better vision of what the area can and should be.
Correct, correct. That's why we're looking for local people, the Ballyshannon, Donegal Town, Leahy, Ballantra area, you know, to come and join us. We currently have about six people on the committee. We're looking to double that because the more the merrier. You know, each committee member would volunteer on what they want to focus on and work directly with the governing bodies, whether or not that's Donegal County Council or Culture, on that particular issue. So I think what we're aiming is try to move a lot of these issues along in parallel and not take them one by one so that we can kind of hit the ground running. You know, there is a similar group, the Friends of Rasnaila Beach. They were established back in 2017. So, you know, we're in constant contact with them to try to learn from them, you know, some of the things that they've come across in the last 4 or 5 years and how they've dealt with it. So, listen, it's a challenge, but I think it's one that's for the good of the, you know, the community, and it's a good of the beach, and it's a resource we really should look after.
Important too, from your point of view, that you've got Donegal County Council on board in this, you've got Culture on board in this, that these agencies are working together with you, and when you have the local community inputting to those agencies' policies, that can only be a good thing.
Correct. And, you know, we've already had one very productive meeting with them. They were really open and delighted to have a committee in Murva. There wasn't such a committee already in establishment. So this is new for them, and they like having point people to work on these issues with. You know, some of these are bigger issues than others, and it'll take time. And obviously there's some legislative stuff that, you know, obviously keeps us within certain parameters of what we want to do. But, I mean, overall, it's very much a partnership, and at least that's what the committee took away from the very first meeting.
You have, as you say, a number of people involved. What sort of numbers are you hoping to get? Because I suppose the more people that get involved, the more people that engage, the more perspectives you have, the more different visions you have, and the more chance you have of getting, you know, some perspectives and some good ideas that can maybe make some real breakthroughs.
That's right. So we have six at the minute. We're looking, listen, nobody will be turned away. I just think because, to your point, you know, whether or not it's parents that's on the committee, then they have the angle on what the kids need down there. If we have more of the older folks, then, you know, they're able to give us in the perspective of what they'd like to see down there. Obviously, the boardwalk was added a couple of years ago, and I think that was a great addition for the older folks and people with strollers to kind of get down onto the beach. So we're open to not alone members, but also volunteers. I quickly mentioned we're having our first cleanup at the beach on April 15th, which is this Saturday coming. So obviously the more volunteers there to help us with that cleanup in partnership with Donegal County Council, you know, the better. But yeah, I mean, we can be reached on our Facebook page. We're known as the Friends of Murva Beach Group. So if you want to send a message there, if you're thinking of either volunteering or joining the committee, that's where you'll find us. And we monitor that all the time. And so we get back to you and set up. We're going to have our next committee meeting within the next 2 weeks. So if anybody wants to join, you know, you're not too far behind. We've only had one meeting with Donegal County Council and Culture so far. So we're really very much at the infancy stage. So please, anybody who is interested in joining us, send us a note and, you know, be part of it.
And we know there are initiatives out there like Antashka's Clean Coasts and so on and so forth that will get very much
correct
behind cleanups like that. And I'm sure you're working in conjunction with them as well to make sure that the best possible outcome comes out of these initiatives.
Yes, that's right. So we've applied to Antashka for our grant that'll cover all the cleaning equipment and you know, everything that's needed for, and Donegal County Council has agreed to come and lift up all the rubbish after we do our cleans. We're going to hopefully do a clean the second Saturday of every month, if that works for folks. So, you know, so if we get the grant, we'll have the facilities, and we'll have everything that goes along with that for people to come along. And listen, we want it to be a fun day as well. You know, Rasnaila has been friends, and Rasnaila have been doing this for a number of years now, and they always get a good old group. So I think it'll take us a while to build up our presence and for people to find out about us. But there is a lot of interest, and people just wanting, you know, to be, you know, to help. So come along on next Saturday, the Saturday coming, sorry, the 15th, between 10 and 12, and get to know everybody and hear what we're doing.
Obviously, the hope would be that beach cleanups will no longer be necessary, because, I mean, you would hope that people using the beach would treat it with the respect they deserve. And I'm sure there's part of your work is going to be having information, signage and so on and so forth increased to try and exhort people not to be leaving any rubbish behind. And we had a conversation earlier on in the show with Councillor Micheál Cullum from West Donegal about an incident that happened at an Andrage there near the airport at Carrickfinn, and you know how that's been dealt with and issues there. But you would ultimately hope that people would treat the beach with the respect it deserves, and with that in mind, I'm sure, as well as working with the council in Cuailte, you'll be working with the tourism authorities as well, because Merva, it's a popular destination, not necessarily drawing as many people as Rosnalla, but it certainly does draw its visitors, and I'm sure they're welcome, but you want to make sure that when those visitors come, they come in a way that respects the beach and that respects the community that they're visiting.
That's right. I do think, it's not a huge problem, but like, not everybody is 100% in compliance. So there always is that residual amount that's left. We also have a problem with just debris washing up on the beach, right, which is obviously not one individual's problem. But so there is a cleanup, not alone from residual stuff that's left over from people visiting the beach, but also from what comes out of the ocean. You often see, various, and they can be quite large, that would be deposited on the beach after the tide goes out. So, we'll also focus on that. But yeah, listen, you're right. There's quite a lot of debris actually left in the forestry. I think that is actually a bigger problem than the beach itself. And not unless you use the forestry, you actually would never see it. But, we have problems with people just walking off and leaving three or four tents there. They've cooked overnight. We obviously, there's bylaws on the beach down in Merva, as I assume they are in most forestry areas. You can't actually enter the forestry without a license or a permit, for which you have to have insurance. So, obviously people are not going to that level of detail in order to camp overnight. But what they are doing is they're leaving a lot of rubbish behind. And that's what we're working with Cuailte on, to just kind of figure out how do we kind of monitor that more closely now as we come into the summer season.
As you say, Lorraine, you're on Facebook. So if people want to make contact, they can look up Friends of Merva Beach on Facebook, make contact there, or come down to meet you, as you say, on Saturday morning between 10 and 12. And if they want to get involved in the committee, they'll be welcomed with open arms. If they just want to volunteer, they'll be welcomed there as well.
Absolutely. We're there. We have a presence on Facebook. We're getting a lot of traction, which is great. There's a lot of people, from far away that are happy to, share our message and share our Facebook to make sure that, back home and, that the beach is looked after and that the amenities we have out there, it sort of fits the purpose. I go back to the playground area. Rosnalla has the most beautiful playground area that they put up during COVID, actually. And we're looking to do something similar for the kids, down in Merva as well. But that'll take time. It'll take funding. But yeah, that's correct. We can be reached on the Facebook page.
Lorraine, we wish you all the best with it, and it's always great to see a community getting involved in something like this and laying down a claim to this, because as well as being a facility for visitors, it is a facility for you and the local community as well. Lorraine McCaverty, Chair of the Friends of Merva Beach, thank you indeed for speaking to us this morning.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Bye. You too. A few of your comments before we go to news at 11. We were speaking earlier to Jim about bullying, and a caller asks, why is bullying not a matter for the Gardaí? Is it not a criminal matter? And I suppose the answer to that really is you would like to get it resolved in the school rather than to be calling Gardaí in. I mean, obviously, calling of Gardaí may be a last resort, but I think it would not be a first resort. Another caller says, bullying is rife, not just in schools. I had a terrible time at work with a bully who was very tech savvy, was using my accounts to send people messages claiming to be from me. Bullies do need to be dealt with. Another caller says, I had a terrible time with my daughter who was being bullied. She ended up leaving and going to Australia to get away from it all. People don't understand the damage that words can do. Now, I'm just going to leave that one there, because that tells a story that needs no amplification or addition to. I'll read that comment again. My daughter was being bullied. She ended up leaving and going to Australia to get away from it all. Another caller says there is no excuse in this day and age for the school not dealing with the issue. If these schools were named and shamed on social media, there'd be an immediate change of attitude. Will we wait until the bullying leaves this child in a worse place? Asks a caller. Again, the naming and shaming, yeah, it would be, I think, a last resort rather than a first resort. And hopefully what will happen is that this can be dealt with through the school, and the student and the family can reach a resolution, and that we will see resolution to this one. We await to see what happens.